Thank you. What's your name, sir?
Hal Garver.
Hal, when last spring when Brother Hogan was here, what kind of shape are you in?
I was at death's door with cancer, bone cancer all through my body.
I thought I saw you in a wheelchair here that night.
I don't remember whether I was or no, I wasn't. My wife's shaking her head. They carried me up here in the chair, up to the front. He helped, and another brother helped carry me up front, and Brother David laid his hands on me.
He prayed for me. So what happened?
Well, here I am. And I have so much joy in my heart because it is great to be among the living and praise the Lord that's healed me and saved me, and He's still got work for me to do. Thank
Amen.
You, Jesus.
Yes. Yes. Good. Come on. Let's just stand and give the Lord a clap offering.
Up a minute. Let's pray a minute here. Thank y'all for Jesus. Clap offering. Thank you for God healing him. They called me and told me about that. My knees went to the floor and I began to pray and cry. Because I know me. I know me. I know the doubt, the unbelief, the hard times. And I know the times I quit. But I know the times God picks you up and brings you back.
Yes,
and it's because of people like him. Do you understand that?
Yes,
it's no other reason. It's no other reason. Jesus, thank you for the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
you are totally at liberty to do whatever you please, Holy Ghost.
Yes,
heal the sick. Cast out devils. Raise the dead. Open blinded eyes. Save souls, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I beg you, I ask you, I plead with you to sweep this place tonight in Jesus' name. Every hindering spirit is broken by the glory of the cross. Every demonic foe and fortress is torn down in principality and power. By the blood of Jesus the Master. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
And I thank God for the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. All right, if you will, sit down, please, and Y'all have to... I'm not an explainer. I don't agree with explaining. I can't explain well. I don't have the greatest education. But when God begins to heal cancer and tumors and blinded eyes and cataracts flee in the name of Jesus, that's enough explanation. And I've got something I'm going to start here. Who knows how far we're going to get. But I did quite a bit of fasting here this year. And in September, I told you this last night, God touched me. I needed a touch. I'm always burning for God, have been for a long time now. And I'm thankful God lets me be happy all the time about seeing souls saved and healed. I'm thankful he lets me go places where other people have fear to go. Do things that cause men to wonder if I'm even have any wisdom in me at all. I appreciate God letting me do that. But when I need a touch for myself personally, there's only one way you can get it. And it's to take this Bible right here. This is my favorite preaching Bible that I've got. You take this thing and you pour over it day after day and you sit and wait. Because God be here in a minute. His minutes are different than ours. But I'll tell you, if you wait long enough, He'll come there, wherever you are. Because He hears our cry. And He comes on us. And one of the things I have to share with you tonight is very precious to me. Because He gave it to me when I was working for Him in prayer and fasting. Waiting on Him's touch. And if you... I can't only look at you. It's not because I've lost my nerve, because I've got more than I usually do. Because it's going to offend some of y'all, and I don't like that. It bothers me that you get offended. You're too aggressive, Hogan. You're always on the line of being out of order. Always got the thing tacked up to the red line. Why can't you calm down a little bit? Why can't you show a little more dignity about yourself? Because my dignity is useless, that's why. My abilities are futile. That's why. Because God's ability... See, I'm going to be trying to talk a little bit here tonight and tomorrow. Can't answer all this at once. But I'm going to see how long we can go here. And it says right here on my paper... Why I'm not healed, touched, blessed, and prosperous. You know why? I know why now. I couldn't answer that before, but I know why now. Because you make choices that are wrong. Come on. That's why. And you blame it on God not loving you like He does somebody else. You blame it on the preacher that's preaching, saying that I tried what you said and it didn't work. That's because you made a bad choice somewhere. In my personal life as a minister, I have made a few choices that were very bad. And to this day, I'm still paying for it. I am completely forgiven for making that mistake. I was in a group of ministers... missionaries. There was 100 and something of us missionaries, which represented several thousand churches. And we were asked one time to make a decision between two mighty men that were running the organization. I don't know how you can choose between Paul and Peter. How do you make that choice? The best thing to do is for Peter and Paul not to get in that position where people have to make that choice. So that means that you and I have to guard our lives as Christians like Jesus is guiding us to do, so that people around us don't have to make decisions because of our life. That causes lots of Christians to stumble because they make the wrong choice. I made the wrong choice. I followed the man that I loved that had brought me up in ministry and that so forth and so on. It was the wrong choice. Should have followed the other guy. And it really was rough on me for a while, but we made it. My reason for it, because I made another choice. I saw I made a mistake and a wrong choice. So I began to try to make up for that mistake like we all do. Try to cover ourselves.
Sorry. What's the matter? We got a baby that needs our mommy.
Oh, when?
Alexis or Alexa, about 9 months old maybe.
Está bonito, gusto. Sí, está bueno. Sí, fue. Turn to Genesis 13, please. You Bible scholars instantly know what I'm talking about already. Y'all are way ahead of me, and that's all right. I'm floating with the Holy Ghost. What you floating with? Great choice. But I want to tell you that choices are made most of the time by Christians who tell me God said. It wasn't God that said it. It was your emotions that said it. It was your circumstances that dictated it. It was your wife that talked to you. It was your best friend. It was the people at work. It was the economy. It was the president. It was somebody else that led you to make a choice. And you're going to tell me it was God. And when it turns out wrong, you're going to blame God. I rebuke that. It's foolishness. So what we're going to do here tonight, we're going to take responsibility for our bad lives. Our lives that do not have the glory of God in them like we all say we can have. For our sick, racked bodies that should be healed, but because our lack of care enough for our own bodies and much less anybody else, we won't press into God and make the choice and pay the price necessary to get God's power. But we all say we got it. I've always been a guy that'll ask a good question, because I think about stuff when I read it. How is it possible for Abraham to get God to come down and sit and eat with him and make all these covenants with him? And I can't. I've never seen God. I have never had an audible voice in my life. Once I thought I did. It's possible it was. But I have seen four demons and they're scary. But I've never seen God. I've never had the great privilege and honor to talk to Jesus face to face. I did get hit upside the head one time by a bullet in Mexico. And God come in the room, touched me on the side of the head. But I never saw Him. I just felt the hand touch me on the side of the head. And I was instantly healed and cured instantly from a bullet wound. God healed me, and that's wonderful. But I never did see Him. I jerked up quick, but there was nothing there. I've never had the privilege. There's been a lot of good choices I've made in my life. As far as this brother's concerned, that had the bone cancer, in his opinion, it was a good choice for me to come up here with the anointing of God coupled with the emotions and the ecstaticness that we had in those last services. And God's power and presence came. A lot of you people were healed. He was too. In his opinion, that was a good choice. So was it in my opinion. All right? We can't allow things about around us and the sight of things to control our decision making. And not, because we all expect God to move when we speak. We do. But He don't. He can't, because we lock Him down by previous choices. We somehow or another believe that we can turn God on and off by our amount of confession of the Word of God. He's not moved by that. He's moved by, last night we talked about five different hearts that quit being halted between two opinions. When you decide and make a quality decision of the heart, God is moved. God is moved. It says right here in 13 of Genesis, Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot went with him. Into the south. Abraham was very rich in silver and gold. He went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, and to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and that other place. Hai. Unto the place of the altar. Do you notice what always these men of God are always doing? What are they always doing? Going to the altar. I can't talk y'all into coming down here.
Oh, well, I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. God's with me wherever I am.
Well, let's see it. Hallelujah. Get testy with me, I'll get testy with you. That's fine. I'm willing and God's capable. Yes, sir. Because I've been to the altar. Then I've been burned again. Under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. Do you notice it wasn't the second or third time? It was the first time he went. He went right back to the same altar because he got touched there. He's going back and get it again. So Lot also, which was with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. You understand, both these guys had a lot of wealth. They was running around together, and old man, old Lot, was happy to run around with a man of God. The land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together. Their substance was great so that they could not dwell together. They began to grow so much because of God's anointing that strife came in. So, look at this. This is very important. There was strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwell in the land. And Abraham said to Lot, the heart that has been to the altar will say this first every time. The one that goes to the altar and makes the covenant with God is the man that will say, let no strife be between us. But the ambitious heart, the prideful heart, the contentious heart, don't talk like that. They know they're right, and God's with us, hallelujah. And they're ready to prove it. But the man that's been to the altar and has made the covenant with God, he says, you take whatever you want. How about that? You say that to you Americans, and y'all take the green, lush valleys of Sodom and Gomorrah every time. Y'all would have packed y'all's tent and went with Lot. You'd have looked at that old bearded Abraham and said, yeah, you went to the altar once, but you miss God now, honey. You can have that rock. I'm going with this boy. He got milk and honey over him. Because you believe prosperity is your answer to your way, and it ain't right. Your trillions of dollars ain't helped the world, period. It's caused more strife than it has help. I live in third world countries, so I know. You've done great. You've come down to Mexico with billions of dollars and you've padded the pockets of the patrones while my Indians are still suffering. And you go get your war you wanted. You got it. They're coming. And I can't stop it. I don't want to. They would rather die than continue on like they are. You done pushed them too far with your gluttony. Your bad choices. Because you won't take responsibility for your own nation and you think you can pay the rest of them off. You can't. You can't do that. So, I'm really not jumping dead straddle you so hard as you think. I'm just telling you the truth. And y'all done got quiet on me. That's a good sign when I come to the United States that I have hit the right chord. As long as there's jump, shout you with me. But when I start stroking this kind of stuff, son, you shut up. And it says right here in my Bible, and Abraham said to Lot, let there be no strife. I pray between you and between me, my herdmen and your herdmen, for we're brothers. But see, even though we brothers, you wrong. And you submit to me if they can be all right. See, we can't let God decide. We just can't do it. That's one of the reasons why we don't have the glory of God when we ask for it. And I want us, in a minute, to repent. That's simple as that. Because tomorrow, I'm going to do my best to show you what it happens when you do good choices. And then tomorrow night, if he keeps letting me go with this stuff, boy, oh boy, oh boy. I'm telling you, when we get to the other end of this thing, it's going to be something else taking place. Because there's a few people in here that made some good choices and it paid off great for the rest of the kingdom. It says in here, and Abraham, them guy, he didn't want to fight. So now look at verse 10. This is what happens in most situations with Christians. I wish I did have the ability to know the percentages so I could be real smart to you and just start quoting all that so y'all say, well, this guy studies a little bit. But I don't know where I'd pick up these percentages from because nobody will preach this. I know great Christians that make wrong choices they live with the rest of their lives. And they suffer because of it. Because they lift up their eyes like Lot did. And behold, all the plain, it was well watered everywhere. But there's a comma in my Bible and there's another phrase after that. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the Garden of Eden, as the Garden of the Lord, like as the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. And Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and the Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. When you decide to separate yourself from the man of God, Lot's choice should have been, what I have is yours, my people submit. That's the end of it. That should have been his decision. Right there. But it wasn't. He couldn't trust his old uncle. He couldn't trust God like Abraham. He just couldn't do it. He just couldn't do it. But Abraham could. The God of the covenant said to him, I'm with you. He said, all right. So when you have God with you and you know it like Abraham knew it, like all of y'all would tell me, you are the seed of Abraham, and you know it. When the decision time comes, you won't choose the lush green pastures of the Sodomites. You'll let somebody else choose it, and you'll wait and be calm and trust in the Lord. See, we had this, in the last couple of weeks, there was a lady that was deathly ill. They had taken her to the doctors, and she had some kind of tumors in her body or something. She was going to die. The husband brought her home, and everybody did, and all the village, they was all telling them, because they were relatively new Christians. They were telling them, look, you got to go to the witch doctor. You got to go to the curanderos, the healers, because this God thing ain't working for you. We don't sit you out to the doctor and your wife's dead. She's worse than she's ever been. She's going to die. And that went on for a few days around there. All the religious pressure was on. The communist pressure was there. All of these pressures are there. And it looks like they're right. We have a little old Indian that works with us. I work with him, actually, is the way it is. His name is Jose Marcos. Spanish, he can't speak Spanish, but he can speak Indian. We're always getting our dates confused because he don't understand Spanish. And I don't understand that. Well, I do understand Indian, but I don't understand it enough. Sometimes I make a few mistakes here and there. He went out there and he told these people, look, don't make a bad choice, a bad decision. Don't do it. So the people of the town run him off. They come out there. They heard what he was saying. They drew knives and machetes and guns on him and run him off. So the town people had made their decision. They threw the man of God out. So now our decision is, do we get mad? Do we call the fire of God down on that village? Do we consume the enemy of God? What do? You don't do nothing. You wait. Because even though the town made their choice, your brother didn't. He didn't say anything. So you don't split yet. You let him choose Sodom or God. It's his choice. Not my choice. I won't make it for him. So another day or two went by. His wife was just, she was just rasping, just laying there, just like that. He looked at the elders of his town, and it's a hard thing for these people to do this. He said to them, "I'm going with God." Y'all all breathe a sigh of relief. You say, "Good choice." Except for one thing. The elders went and armed themselves. The man ended up with his wife in a chair on his back. They burned his house down. They run him off. Bad choice. Now he's out on the trail with an almost dead wife. He gets over to Brother Jose Marcos' place in Tepechica. And he says to her, "I don't have anything left. They took everything. All I got is a sick wife." They set that wife down on the thing, and she didn't even have a sick wife no more. She was dead. Now he don't have anything. Everything pointed to a bad choice. Brother Jose Marcos. I really like him. Little old skinny guy, can't even speak Spanish. What's wrong with him? Has only one pair of tennis shoes, and they have the side busted out of them. He only has one shirt that's white, and he wears it every day. That's right. But he reached over in that chair. He went to the altar of God. And he cursed those tumors. And he broke the spirit of death over that lady. And she came back to life. Good choice. They carried her back over to that village where he had been run out of. She stood up and started walking, and the people that came armed fell back. "What is this? What is this? She's been raised from the dead, and the tumors are gone. Now we need to build the house back. Thank y'all very much." And they did. And Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. Lot pinched his tent toward Sodom, but the men of Sodom were wicked sinners. God forbid you to do that. But you know what I know about you? I have had a lot of time to think about it. I drive to church. It takes hours to get there. So I think about a lot of things I see and hear about my own country. Do you know that you'll listen to sinners over people of God? Do you know you'll pitch your tent toward Sodom instead of listen to the house of God? Do you know you're that way? Do you know we're going to repent tonight and let God blow through here? Did you know that? Did you know you're going to make... Because last night a couple of you people in here told me, with weeping and tears and honesty, I really appreciate it. I don't remember your faces because I was in a certain way last night. But if and you were honest with me, and I truly appreciate it. You were making a decision. You said to me, "Don't even pray for me if this is not going to change me. I don't want to just be knocked on the ground and have some emotions again." Hey, thank you for your honesty. That's a hungry heart. That is a changed heart. When God gets through you after this fire has touched you. I like that. It didn't hurt my feelings one bit. That blessed me more than you can... I didn't show any emotions. I know I didn't. I never do. I'll wait a minute. Now think about it. That was a quality decision. And I appreciate it. I really do. Now let's jump over here to Genesis 14. I'm not in a hurry. Can you tell? I'm not going to make it through this whole thing tonight. I know that. I'm breaking it up already. But I want to make sure that you get it down deep inside of you that it's not the devil's fault sometimes. You give him charge sometimes. The responsibility lies right here with you and I. We give the devil permission to wreak havoc on us, and then we come down here weeping and howling and crying, "God, why did you do this to me?" You did it to you. And tonight we accept responsibility for it. And that's going to clean us up. That's going to heal us. There's going to be miracles. There's going to be wonders and signs. If you really hear, and I'm not challenging you, I'm telling you this is right. You don't have a choice. Ultimately, you know, I know you do. You can be stubborn and mean and mule-headed and go ahead and pitch a tent in Sodom anyway, but you're going to get the same thing Lot did. You can be spared. But you're asking too much. You're asking too much of a price from me. What price you going to pay when you go to Sodom? I have an answer for that. Right here. It says, Sodom and Gomorrah. Ooh. First of all, you got these devil kings come out there. I mean, old Lot sitting over yonder, I mean, drinking milk and honey. He's looking over yonder in that desert, in that mountain, saying, boy, Abe, you made the wrong decision. And he's laying under that cool tree, that creek's running by him over there, and that grass is green and pretty and soft. And then he starts hearing this, what's that? Turns out there's lots of kings coming. And they come to take Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, right here in my Bible it says in verse 11, they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. In verse 12, look at here, the first thing it costs, Lot. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom and his goods, and they left. Well, then one of them escaped. Where did he go? He went to where the man was at the altar of God. Isn't that something? Happens to you regular. You make a bad choice, then it finally hammers you right upside the head, you go, duh, well, that must have been a mistake. That devil really got me, didn't he? I don't remember opening no doors for the devil. You did, you opened your whole house. Every car door, every closet door. Come on in, devil, just bide right here. That's my choice. And then whenever it starts hammering you upside the head, the devil's got me, oh God! You let him in. Your choice, let him in. Lot could have submitted way back up yonder when the strife first started. He might have been a little bit drier, might have had to work a little harder to get the water, but he wouldn't have been taken by no five kings. So here comes Abraham to rescue Lot. Runs down there, outnumbered, but he whoops all of them. God helps him. Is that not true? Okay. Now then, chapter 19. Well, this is all mixed up in here. You're actually running parallel two men's lives here. One made a good choice, one made a bad, but we're doing Lot first because we've got to deal with the bad choices, because if I was to tell you about the good choices first, you'd all think y'all was Abraham. But you're not. You're Lot. There were very few Abrahams around. There are few people that hang out at the altar of God. I am absolutely, I'm not being mean to you. I'm being honest with you. And I want us, so that we can experience this glory fire, I want us to be honest with ourselves first, our families, our people around us, our God, so that He can envelop us. And He will if we're honest. If we decide to see what I'm trying to, not doing too good at, but I'm trying to produce something here and show it to you in a little view here. See, then here comes in verse 19, these angels come. I mean, Lot is down yonder, done got up all in that city now and built him these houses and everything. And these Sodomites is all there. His people's done married all up in amongst these demons. And he's sitting there at the chair by the door of his house. He looks up and he saw men of God coming. What in the world? How could he know it so far away? Because they looked different, that's why. Because they made right choices, that's why. Because they submitted to God and they just act different. They act unusual and wild, but they're different. Says in verse 4, but before they lay down the city of the men of the city came to Sodom and could pass the house about. Listen to this. Old men, young men, from every quarter, and they called out to Lot. Who's new guys you got in here? We want them. We want to have sexual activities with these guys. We want all of them, our women. We want to have an orgy. We want new flesh. You can take this every how you want to. Why wasn't they knocking down old Lot's door? Reckon he done mingled up so much they thought he was one of them? Yeah. That's right. He done compromised his lifestyle that his uncle taught him so much that they didn't know the difference. But when the real men of God came, they knew the difference. Do you hear me, church? Y'all are so quiet. I think I can hear the pitter-patter of the little church mouse running around in here. So then, you know the story, and they smote them with blindness in verse 11 and went on about their way. And the men said to Lot, hast thou here any besides your son-in-law and thy sons and your daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out. Lot's message was so weak he had no converts. He had compromised his stand so much by wanting where he was at so bad that he had no converts. And so, listen to this. Now, I want to show you something here in verse 13. For we will destroy this place. I'm talking about the same God of peace and mercy and life and love is talking here. God hates sin. I have the right to hate sin because my God does. I do not have to compromise because you have. And I'm not. It's too costly. In the beginning, you're prosperous, you gain much, you have great crops, you have every kind of other thing. In the beginning, it's always the percentages are higher in the beginning with sin. Almost always. The peace, the joy, the luxuries are greater in the beginning with sin, usually more than with submission. In the beginning. But I'm not an in the beginning person. I'm a long run guy. I believe in running the race to win and doing it the right way once. So you don't have to try to come back and say, oops, I made a mistake. God forgives me. I'm an American. Hallelujah. Boy, y'all don't like this. That's all right. Because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us in to destroy it. Lot went out and spake to who? His own kinfolks. And his own kinfolks laughed at him because they didn't even have a good enough witness in his house to convert him. He tried the sloppy agape approach, and that don't work on sodomites. Most of you in here are looking at me right in the face and telling me, boy, you're legalistic and I don't like what you're saying. Yeah. Go ahead, sodomite. You're a compromising, sloppy agape, and I hate what you do. So let's just keep standing and see who's going to be here tomorrow. Because I am in Jesus' name. But I notice y'all have had a few changes of faces around here. See there, and which married his daughters and up and get you out of this place, for the Lord is going to destroy it. But he seemed, look what they said to him. He seemed as one that mocked to his sons-in-law. Don't ever expect people around you to respond when you're going to go with them and go with them and compromise and compromise. You made choice after choice after choice that's let them get stronger and stronger and stronger in your very house. They're not going to change. Just because you get a touch one night and go to the next, they're not going to listen to you. You're going to be as one that's a mock to them. They're going to mock you because of the choice he made way back yonder. That he's having to get this now. All right, then the morning rose up and the angels hastened, let's get out of here. Take your wife and your two daughters. I mean, look, do you understand how wealthy this man was when he went to Sodom and Gomorrah? He was so powerful that between him and his uncle, the land couldn't contain their herds. Man, that's big. That's power. That's what we all want. But it didn't come from strife. It came because he followed and submitted to his uncle and did that which was right to the altar of God. And then when he split off because of strife, choice, bad one, is when hell started coming against him. Lots of things we do is because of a blatant attack of the devil. You know I know that. But there's lots of people that are blaming the devil. It's because they won't accept responsibility for their own mistakes. They're Lot. They're not Abraham. But they're trying to act like Abraham. It'll get you killed every time. You'll be slaughtered. And it's not the will of God for you. It's the will of God for you to be strong and powerful. Have tents and herdsmen and your herds strong and healthy because of the altars of God you've gone to. But when you cast your eyes on Sodom and the old man comes and says, take your choice, but please don't let there be strife. And you look over there, and you look at him, and you look at that old desert over there. Gee, this is easy. Thought you knew something, old white-haired one. You crazy. I'm going down here. You did know something. You knew God. And easy, very seldom is right. All righty. And it says right here. Boy, this is serious, ain't it? It says right here, them angels come in there and said, don't be consumed in the iniquity of the city. It wasn't God's still trying to give this man a way out. I mean, God's patience with us. I mean, if you look at this, he had already blessed him and he had all the blessings and honor of God on him. But because he went the wrong way and he let strife get in and tear things up, and then the kings came and fought him, and then the Sodomites got him and got his family, and he lost everything, and now he's down to just his wife and kids, and he's still stalling. What is it about Sodom you want so bad? I don't understand it. There's nothing but hell and destruction there. Sure, there's green pastures. Sure, there's milk and honey, but honey, I can get that from God anytime. Amen. Verse 16, while he lingered still, look at that, he's still. Sodom had a hold on this man of God. He's already lost his family. He's already lost his herds and herdsmen. His wealth is gone. What else did he have? A wrong heart. And that lot was holding him to Sodom. That choice he made to let strife be in there, that's what was holding him to Sodom. His ambition to be the king of Sodom and Gomorrah. So here they go. He says, there was only one stipulation made here in verse 17. It came to pass when they brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for your life, but don't look back. Going up in the mountains, the place he had left from with his uncle. Isn't that to me, that's just funny to me. The very place he turned. It's one little bitty town, so the angel said okay and took off, and they called the place Zoar in verse 27, and the sun was coming up, and the Lord God Almighty in verse 24 reigns rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. What about all of Lot's sheep and cattle and his wealth, his money, his men servants and maid servants? What about all of those things he had obtained? Burned up. Strife allowed God's judgment fire to consume it. Did Job's Bible say this or not? I'm not making this up. It's in here. And it needs to be addressed. It needs to be talked about. And we need to accept responsibility. Because everybody in here loves to hear me talk about the dead raised. And loves to see this man stand up healed with bone cancer. It don't come from Sodom.
Amen.
It comes from the altar. And that's up in the mountain, honey. It ain't down here in the plush. It's in the mountain. I like the mountain. Thank you, Jesus, for giving them to me. I'll walk the mountain. All right, Sodom and Gomorrah is being destroyed. And you women, listen to me. You are very valuable to God, but you hold old men. Sometimes you can twist them in the wrong way. All of you. My wife can have part in making decisions in my life that sometimes it's not godly. Look at this. Verse 25, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city, and they which grew upon the ground, and that which grew upon the ground. What are you willing to pay to hold on to your Sodom? Lot has lost his wealth, his kinship with Abraham. He's lost the altar of God. He's lost his sons, his daughters, and now all he's got is his two virgin daughters left and his wife and the clothes on their back. And because of his compromise and his decisions, he lost his wife. She had to get one more look at the house she lost. She turned back. And I believe what my Bible says. She turned to a pillar of salt. And now Lot cannot go back and get her. Think about that now. You think you just can't make that. You've halted between two decisions so long. And you just can't make that breakthrough step. It's going to cost you in the long run. You're one of those five hearts I spoke of last night. You've got to let it go. Go to the altar of God. Please, in time, Sodom will get you. You'd think he lost his honor with his uncle. He lost his herds. He lost his wealth, his servants. He lost his sons-in-law and daughters. He lost all of that stuff, and all of it's now covered in fire and brimstone. Now think of the emotions that own him now. He lost his wife. But that ain't all he lost. This stuff never quits when it gets on you. Even though God's delivered him, trying, God's done everything that he could to pull that man out of there and get as much of his stuff with him as he could. But because of the compromise and because of the bad choice in the beginning, he couldn't pull. He had no more authority with his own people. Now look what happens here in verse 30. Lot went up out of Zoar. Why? And dwelt in a mountain with his two daughters. Why? He was afraid of the people of Zoar because of the decision he made a long time ago and because they knew everything about it. Because God visited the place with his judgment fire and he feared for him and his two daughters' lives. Do you reckon he could have at any moment in this big game that was being played, this big life game that was going on, do you reckon he at any point could have made a split beeline to his uncle and got down on his knees and his uncle would have put his big old arms around him and said, let's go to the altar of God? Do you reckon that would have happened? But it didn't because he didn't. It's good. It's from God. It's definitely God for us, church. I can almost taste this so bad. I want it so bad for everybody, for us. I think I can taste it. Because look what happened next. Now they don't have anything but two daughters, no supplies, and he's up in a cave, up in the mountains that he fled from in the beginning. And then something else happens. Incest. These daughters take him and get him drunk. The first one, the oldest one, goes and lays with him and has sex with him. I mean, this is amazing to me, the sequence of events that one choice made. And it was because of strife. Isn't that something? Man, oh man. This scares the fire out of me. My brothers come in there, sometimes they're breathing fire because somebody's stealing a couple of our churches. You know what I tell them? Calm down. Let them have them. Don't get in a dither about it. Because if they're ours, they'll be back. I don't want to hold them because I have the power to hold them. I want to hold them because of the power of God in me to hold them. Do you see a difference anywhere here? I don't want to hold them and them be filled with strife. They're going to strife. If they've got strife, they're going anyway. Let them go. God knows how to bring it full circle, bring it back together if you can trust Him. But if you demand it's at the altar, you know how to trust Him. So they didn't know. Abraham got drunk and had sex with the one daughter, got drunk and had sex with the next daughter. Bad choices. I've made a couple of them in my life and I regret them. I can tell you the day I made them. I can't ever redo that. But I can make myself in Jesus' name understand not to make another bad choice. If I could redo it, I would. I can't. But I can now outlive them in Jesus' name and submit to the altar. Do you understand that? There's some of you people in here that you've got long-standing debates and problems and divisions, contentions and strife that have eaten you alive for years. Because you made a decision to go with the strife instead of with trust. Somewhere along the way, your abilities override the ability of God to take care of you. Because your knowledge of God gets a grip on it bigger and greater than you. And it holds you against them. It's a demon. Y'all can name it whatever you want to the devil. I'm telling you right now, I want to just tell you what Jesus said. Look in Luke. See, if you ever get the chance... If you ever get the chance to walk up to a man, like I did the other day, this is something. I don't know what it is. I can't describe it. Where are we going? Luke 17. If you ever get the chance to see this man, he walks up there and there's the fire of God's falling all around us. And people are being hit and slammed and banged and touched. And oh boy, this is fun and everything's happening and I'm happy. And then there's a guy standing in the middle of the whole crowd just doing this. When God's blowing and going, if you don't want nobody to mess with you, the best thing to do is just act like you're getting it. Because you a target, boy. Guys like me just...
Boy, he's got discernment. No, you didn't move. I saw you not moving. You need something. Don't give me credit. Give you credit. You the one didn't move, but you should have got out of the way and took off running, but I could probably outrun you. This guy here, the reason he wasn't moving, he couldn't hear. Hadn't been able to hear for 27 years. Another problem he had, he couldn't speak. Hadn't been able to speak for 27 years. When he was a little bitty boy, he had a fever. Shut off his hearing, shut off his mouth. Couldn't speak nor hear. And when you get the chance in your lifetime to walk up to one of these people, I didn't know his story. He was a new person to our group, but I just walked up to him, never saw him before. And I'm looking at him, talking to him. What's the matter with you? What's wrong with you? Why can't you get God? Everybody else getting God around here. All of a sudden, one of the brothers said to me, "Tarda mudo." He can't speak and he can't hear. I said, "No joke." Man, we jumped on that guy's head and he looked like a fuzzball we got through. But I got to tell some of you people that think that we're a little bit too aggressive, me and these guys I'm with, I've got to address this. Problem with you is you ain't been able to... See, God blessed you with all your senses. But if you get the word of the opportunity where you have to walk around deaf mute 27 years, you don't care what they do to you.
Amen. That's right.
We sat down on top of this guy's head, about 20 of us. That guy never felt God. We knocked him down. We picked him back up, knocked him down again, picked him back up, and then God knocked him down. But when he come to finally, he was afraid. He got up and he was doing this because he could hear and he could speak. Just know that I am a little bit of an aggressive guy. I do weigh around 200 pounds. And when I come running by you, I used to be a linebacker. If I forearm you, you're going to fall. I am aggressive. I don't apologize. But I'm not trying to be mean to you or hurt your feelings. I just want you to know that Jesus is going to touch you. Just give him a minute. All right, look at here. I want to show you this one verse here that Jesus said. In verse 8, let's see, where are we? Luke 17. Oh, I better read some of it. 28. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Huh? Sounds like prosperity to me. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed all of them. So you see, prosperity ain't always a sign of the will of God. Ooh, y'all don't like that kind of talk. Even thus shall it be in the days of the Son of Man and is revealed. I'm going to tell you something. When God is revealed, Sodom is destroyed. When Jesus, we were just singing about that. What did we sing about the promise? It says, how does your song go about the promise? It said, the full power of the promise or something like that. How was that? Full release of the promise. That's what it was. And we all want it. We all say we want it. But when the release of the promise starts taking place, Sodom gets burned. Sodom gets burned. You need to do your own study on what a sodomite is and all that. And then you need to look at Lot's life. Then you need to look at his wife's life. Something happened to those folks when they went to Sodom. Something happened to those folks. Because Jesus brought it up, and that's a serious accusation.
In that day, he which shall be upon the house and his stuff that is in the house, let him not come down and take it away. He that is in the field, let him not turn back. Look at verse 32. Remember this. Lot's wife. I personally own no thing. Anything I have that I use does not own me either. I want you to stand up right now, please, quickly. I realize this is not one of them kind of sermons you think God's going to come in here on afterwards, but you're wrong. This is necessary. This is the word of the Lord, Pastor. It's very grave. It's very sobering. We need that. I want to real quickly, while y'all are standing there stretching, get over that and put these chairs over there. Wherever they go, upside the wall. Middle to the wall. Because we're going to do something. Holy Ghost. Kuni marakate ni masata la basata li libo. Oh, that'd be a good idea. Yes, sir. Debbie. Thanks, sir. In a minute, maybe. Let's just... Thank you. Sit down. Holy Ghost. She'll come right back to your place, please. Please, please, please. Jesus' name. I rebuke the devil. I ask you, God, for the mercy. I ask you for the full revelation of this thing to come into our hearts. Full understanding, God, in Jesus' name. Would y'all please get right back there and come right back up. Just get up in here a little close. And I want to ask you if your heart is truly open to what I'm saying. I want you to start making your way up here to the front. If you're sick and tired of Sodom, bad choices, your life being wrecked and messed around by demons because of choice you made, and you're willing to take responsibility for your life tonight. I'm honest. I want you to be honest. I am. I know I am. Because I want God so bad to touch us. I'm willing to do anything He says. But you need to be that way also. And I want you to take a minute. Do you have something about the blood of Jesus? I'd like for us to start singing that real soft if I can talk to them some more. But I really like the blood of Jesus. These musicians get a kick out of me in that blood business. Well, I don't ask nothing of them. Just kept a couple of first songs about the blood of Jesus. That really gets me hopping. If you understand what that blood's atonement does for us, you wouldn't stay in Sodom. I fully expect God to touch people's lives tonight in such a way, such a dramatic, awesome touch, that there's going to be divisions in this house that are healed tonight. There's going to be people that have outstanding debts with each other that are forgiven totally out of a clean, pure heart. I want to take a minute just to sit here and just think about it. Worship Jesus a minute. Holy Ghost! Forgive us. If you really, really mean that, if you really believe and understand what I'm trying to say. I apologize for my lack of words. I'd like for you to stretch yourself up toward heaven and call out to God. Rend your heart to Him. And allow yourself to be filled with forgiveness. Allow yourself to be healed. Fractures taken out of your spirit. Your body healed. And allow the precious covenant blood of Jesus to come over you tonight. Let repentance consume your being. And when you do, the fire of heaven will consume you. In Jesus' name, fire from God. Touch us, heaven. Holy Ghost. God, we decide tonight to make godly choices. In Jesus' name, we decide not to look to materialism as our way of showing that you're with us. We decide not to look at green pasture. We decide to fall on the altar of God. We decide in Jesus' name. Now I ask you to open your heart and receive. If you mean it, out of an honest and pure heart, receive. Receive now. In Jesus' name. Anointing of heaven roll in this place. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. We receive you, God.